Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to the Paddock Podcast with Adam McCullough, Stephen Howson, Jay Motti, and me, Joe Smith. We're live with the Paddock Podcast every single Monday at 4 p.m. on YouTube. The Paddock Podcast title sponsor is Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming. Enjoy this week's show. He's
doing it. Yo. Welcome to the Paddock Pod. Stephen Howson. From such videos as might as well be Celtic. Nice. In a 2.0.
Nice. Finally. Embrace it,
embrace
brother.
Embrace it.
Celebrate it.
We're going to sell merch.
All right, okay, yeah. Have we got that merch up on the paddockmerch.com?
Not yet.
Can we get that now, sorted, quickly?
Can I do it?
What?
I'm reserved for, can I do it?
Fuck it, see if it happens. Right, only what, 150% cut.
Okay, I told you the story, didn't I, when I was with Crawler at his gym.
Yeah.
Can I tell it again? Because I like
Yeah, I've not heard this
I guess.
Yeah. So Callum Smith, who
world champion at the time?
World champion, super middleweight, WBC world champion, widely recognised as pound for pound, the best super middleweight in the world.
Yeah. Can he fight, though? It's been said.
If he was to walk in and kick off, I fancy us to do him.
Well, yeah, because the bats should be on.
Yeah, we got help from everyone else. So he's going, Crawler's like talking, oh, yeah, because I said to him, you know, you're coming on the channel. He's like, yeah, yeah, who's it with, you and Steve? Yeah, I'll come on the brew. So Callum's like, what is all that? And he's like, oh, you know, it's United lads. You talk about United, you know Steve, don't you, Steve Nelson? He's like, nah, I don't think it is. He goes, the lad who said, might as well be Celtic when City won league. But oh, I know him. Yes. I thought, there you go. You see, you've brought Liverpool boxing and Manchester football together. Wonderful.
Crawler's the busiest man in the world, you know.
Have you ever walked down the street, Andy Crawler?
I haven't.
No, I know you haven't because you'd still be doing it now if you ever have. It is, and I love Crawler, right? Big shout out to him. He's a good mate and a friend of this channel. But he is a nightmare because that lad cannot spend 30 seconds of anyone. If someone stops him, he will chat to them forever. He will listen to their life story. He will listen to their tips on boxing and not tell them to do one. He's that nice.
World champion, yeah.
They'll be like, you know what you want to do, man? When you're fighting, oh, right, okay. Yeah, that's not, you know, good idea, that.
When he said he was fighting Lomachenko, I was like, we need a word.
Oh, man. I know. Do you know what I mean?
He got a lot of money for it. Let's say, anyway.
Listen, you can't knock anyone for fighting the best in the world. Ever.
What's fucking great about him as well is like he doesn't come out with no Klopp excuses afterwards.
No,
there's not. There's not about
trademark that one.
There's nothing about the weather. Nothing like, you know. Do you know what? There was a bit of light in my eye from the spotlights. None of that shit. He went afterwards. I went, mate, what? And he went, he's fucking good, him.
It's like, brilliant.
It's like I can't fucking get near him, Steve.
That's how it should be.
Do you know what? I love that.
Lomachenko's the greatest of all time. Like, Mayweather you can't hit, but Lomachenko you can't see and he's hitting you at the same time.
And also, Lomachenko, like, spent so much of his career as an amateur. Like,
300 fights?
Yeah. We've seen Mayweather obviously had a good amateur career, but then he's become a professional relatively early. Lomachenko was, like, an amateur for years and years.
I think he was world champion 4 fights into his career.
Yeah, like, yeah. Wow. It's ridiculous. He's only had about 15 fights or something, I think. It's not many.
Lomachenko, like, if you watch boxing, if you like boxing, Lomachenko just... He makes it look sexy. Like, it's so good to watch. Like, he makes it entertaining. Like, his movement, his footwork, everything like that. Anyway, it's one of them, isn't it?
It's all football.
Guess what
go on. I want to just make sure I'm getting this right.
What did you lot do this weekend?
Say again.
He's had 16. He's had 18 fights. Sorry, not.
What did you lot do this weekend? Anything good?
Is that right? Although you wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do on this video.
No, you wouldn't let me. I mentioned it on the Instagram live.
Yeah, he's like, no, we're not doing that.
What?
What I wanted to wear.
Oh right, yeah. No, you could have worn it. I didn't say you couldn't. I just said I wasn't.
I know, but what is
it? It'd been better if we were all full kit.
It was, yeah. Shinny's on him.
you didn't like, what was the script with you on Saturday night? Did you sort of have it on the background while you're at the gym? What was the, did you risk it? Did you go, hang on?
Right, here's what happened, right?
I've got an alert. Do you know what I mean?
I'm setting myself up for some comments here, but last year I went to the gym when City and Chelsea played.
Right.
And I did like 2 hours on the cross trainer. And then when I came out, City hadn't won, and I was like, right, that worked. So I was thinking, I'll do it again this year. And I went and I did 2 hours on the cross trainer, absolutely filleted myself. And I didn't have it on, was watching a documentary on war, obviously.
Yeah.
Any war in particular?
Yeah, World War II, the great one. Best characters, best baddies.
Yeah, I like that.
Had it all going on, didn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of jungle, bit of desert, you know, bit of Northern Europe. Proper, anyway, proper war. So I was watching a documentary on war, and I had obviously live alerts on, and I was getting texts off loads of people. And Joe, when you get in the middle of a game, if everyone else thinks you're watching it at the same time as them, no one's giving you any context or anything. You just get text saying, fucking hell.
Yeah.
And you're like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm ignoring them and I'm just keeping doing my thing. And then Ben texts me saying, these cheating scouts bastards are going to do it again, aren't they? And it's like VAR saving their ass. And I'm like, what is going on here? And then I had the alert pop up, Vinicius, 59 minutes, goal. And I was like, let me get this game on now. And I finished watching. Obviously finished 2 hours on the nose.
Yeah.
It's just perfect.
It was weird because
injury. I love this. And I was like, how do I take a photo of this? But if you do a screenshot of BT on your phone, you just get a black square.
Yeah.
When he put the board up for 5 minutes, I had 5 minutes left. And I was like, I'll go to the end. Sort of whistle.
It was so, I know, like, people might be watching, right, going, oh, well, if there's any non-United fans watching, going, this is sad, this.
Do I look sad?
Exactly. And it would have been unbearable. Them winning the 7th Champions League, all the media nonsense. The media nonsense went on with them losing. You had
still
Michael Owen.
And
who's that one off Talk Sport, that idiot? Well, Simon I don't know it down. Sorry, Simon Jordan. Sorry, that was just, that could have been anyone.
I know.
Yeah, Simon Jordan saying, well, they're still the best team in Europe. They're not even the best team in England. What are you on about?
I love that one going around yesterday. Real Madrid had this run to the Champions League final. They beat the French champions. They beat the English champions. They beat the European champions and the Carabao Cup holders.
Do you know what? That annoyed me, though. That annoyed me. Because on the night, Darren Fletcher was doing commentary, not the footballer, obviously, the commentator, and he was going, oh, you look at Real Madrid's run. If they win this, no one has done it harder, tougher than this season than Real Madrid. And I thought, hang on a minute. Right, you played City in the semis. You've got how many Champions Leagues have they won?
Oh, none.
Oh, right, okay, sorry. Silly me. You played Paris Saint-Germain last season. Right, so you played two teams that have never won the Champions League between them and have only ever been to two finals between them, right? You obviously played the Carabao Cup winners who didn't win their league, right? I know you've played the league winners another time, but Liverpool aren't this sort of amazing team that everyone goes on about. And then I don't even know about the groups, but you go back to United in 99.
Sheriff weren't in their group this year, were they?
Who?
Sheriff was in their group this year.
Yeah, they had
and they lost the first game.
Pull up 99-9!
I'll tell you, Bayern Munich, Barca, in your group, right? The group of death.
Ballon d'Or winner.
Ballon d'Or
don't
winner.
Don't fucking get me started.
Rivaldo, don't get him started. No, let's not do that.
Gary Neville's already blanked him talking about that.
Yeah, international in this last 16, yeah? This is the Zamorano era.
Ronaldo era.
Yeah,
Ronaldo.
Thank you. When they were mint.
You dick.
Yeah, you've got... Yeah, I know, but he weren't there, was he?
Yeah, was it? He played in one leg and was injured in the other.
Okay. Yeah, well, okay, the R9 era then, there you go, even better. Then you've got...
Post the fucking Dwight York in his house.
Exactly. Then you've got Rude. You've got Juventus in the semis. This is the same Juventus who went to 4 finals in 6 years.
UEFA coefficient ranked number one team.
Yeah.
147 points off the top of my head, I think.
Some bloke calls Zinedine Zidane alongside some other geezer called Deschamps, alongside some other geezer called Davids in midfield.
Yeah.
Pretty weak, if
Conte
you ask me.
Conte and Montero, you know what I mean? Inzaghi.
Yeah. Not much about him, to be honest with you.
Nah.
That's your semi, yeah? You get past that. And then you've got, oh, Bayern Munich again in the final. And you beat them all.
And this thing of how many games Liverpool played, we had to qualify. Because at that point, was it not...
We had Lods to qualify. In the qualifying round.
2009, we had more games because we had the Super Cup, which we lost. We had the Charity Shield, which we won.
Yeah.
We had the World Club Cup, which we won. We played more games than them.
Yeah.
And come away with more trophies.
So this whole everything,
I won the league.
This whole recency bias, where everything's the
By
best
the
ever, and everything's the most hard it's ever been, and everything, you know, no one's ever done it like this, and this is the greatest team you've ever seen, and it's all nonsense. It isn't. We've seen the greatest teams we've ever seen. They were managed by Sir Alex Ferguson, last team to beat Real Madrid in a European final.
Apparently, Aberdeen, but I wasn't even sure.
I didn't know. And I think me and you should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah, devastated.
Off the top of our heads. And in what competition as well?
You know the competition.
The best competition. All this Champions League nonsense. It's not even the best competition. Best competition doesn't exist anymore. It was that good. They had to scrap it. Get involved in the comments. We've got a few. Zachary Purvis.
So anyway, highlight of my weekend anyway.
Sorry.
I went and watched Top Gun last night.
Did you go and watch Top Gun?
Oh my God, Jay.
Bro, I need to see this.
Oh my God.
Where did you watch it?
Cinema, Jay.
No, where? The cinema.
I was in a seat, Jay.
In a seat.
The
in
cinema.
Cinema.
It's like the picture house.
Yeah.
Right. Is this near your house?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Don't say no more then. Fair enough. Go on.
It's fucking mint.
I've heard it's good.
There's only, right, here's the thing, right? Top Gun's cheesy as fuck.
Do you reckon?
Really?
Yeah.
It's like proper American melted cheese with cheese on top, right? It's cheesy.
It's right up your street, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are Mr. American.
Yeah. It's so cheesy, but that's what makes it good. Because it knows it's cheesy. They're playing volleyball. Like, they know it's cheesy. You know what I mean?
Right.
This one, it's a little less cheesy. Now, there's a couple of things where you go, this doesn't add up a little bit. One, they never say who the unnamed Eastern European enemy is. I'm not going to give you the spoiler alert, but they didn't do that at the end. Right?
Tom Cruise saved nonsense. The world.
Not the world.
Just the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, this isn't a spoiler alert. I've saved a spoiler alert one. That's the only time I was like, fuck off. But there's a bit of a premise that you'll get over it, but it's a little bit annoying, is that they haven't got like a squadron that they're going to go to for some really difficult mission. They have to get everybody back at Top Gun, all of the previous graduates from Top Gun, to put a team together to go do it. That's a little bit of a bollocks premise.
See, I don't mind stuff like that because I'm clueless. So you know about things like this, you might go, that's just, but I'd be like, yeah, whatever.
Like, I know you've got a squadron does this shit. Like, that's just, especially America. That's what I mean.
See, I'll be over that very quickly, that bit. Do you know what I mean? I need to see it because I was a bit, but the reviews have been amazing and the trailers hooked me.
Well, there's nostalgia in there. If you're not aware that, like, Goose's kid's in there, where the fuck have you been?
Did you cry when Goose died?
Did I cry when Goose died? What, when I was three?
Yeah.
No.
No, I did. I was seven. That and Apollo Creed. Never got over it.
I'm still over Apollo Creed.
No.
Greatest documentary I've ever seen. What?
It's fast. Keep going. It's a boxing documentary. It all happened.
No, there's actually a guy called Rocky Balboa. He's a ranked boxer. Google Rocky Balboa box rec. Do it right now.
Let's not.
He's not got a great record.
I want to see these guys.
Because can you imagine, he's going to come out to the Eye of the Tiger and everything, and he's going to go full.
If he's got anything about him, right, I'm trying to find this. What's all this?
Did that took you to his record?
Go on. I don't know what it's took me to. This is you, Ed. Oh, no, this is like the actual, they've made a box record for the actual character.
All right.
I'm trying to find, here we go, here's your man. No, he's had one fight that he lost by knockout.
Where's he from, though?
From Philadelphia.
What are the odds, Jay?
I'm not being funny, right? This guy's got a boxing record that I could match, right? He's had one fight.
Yours is better.
Yeah. Mine couldn't be any worse than this. It's impossible. He's had one fight, he lost it, and he lost it by knockout. So, yeah.
You have to be good with that.
It was, he doesn't say the round, he just says lost, knockout. He lost to Robert Irons. Let's have a look at Robert Irons. To be fair, Robert Irons is decent. He's had 29 fights and he's won 25 of them. I don't know what was Rocky Balboa was doing. I think his name got into his head. Don't worry about this kid. I've got him.
I've watched the film.
Yeah, I've watched the film. But Rocky, you've never had a fight in your life and this guy's had 27. Don't worry about that. I'm going to do him.
So, yeah. It was cheesy.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Right.
But the new one, Maverick one, it's not as cheesy. And it was all right. Very enjoyable. Oh, so the kid, right?
Rooster.
You forget that he's literally an extra in the original Top Gun. I don't think he has a line. He's just kind of dragged around, yeah. But they keep showing you like clips of it and it fucking does give you a bit of nostalgia about it. You're like, oh shit, yeah, there's a relationship here kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that
was good in Rocky when they did that as well. Because you're like, as he's thinking of all his memories, I'm thinking of all his fucking memories.
I know.
That's one of the only good things about let's pretend 60-year-old blokes are doing this.
Yeah, because I was going to say Top Gun was 36 years ago.
Tom Cruise is a year older than my dad.
that?
Or a year younger than my dad.
Right.
One of the two.
So, is your dad fighting fit for a fighter pilot?
No, he doesn't look like he's doing the Mission Impossible shit either, which he's in the middle of as well. Right. Complains about his knees all the time.
I'll get into some of the super chats. Jacob OC, welcome to the Academy. Thanks for your support. Carl says, do you rate the Peep Show? I'm seeing you being Peep Show. I do rate Peep Show. Zachary Purvis, who's been a member of the Academy for 18 months, says, for the new kit for Paddock FC, this is your department, not our department, the Paddock lads should just rock them for the day on all live shows. Love the content, lads. Excuse me.
You have to speak to me about that.
Yeah. Peter Kelly says, I went over to my mate's house, three of them cheering for Liverpool, two in their Liverpool jerseys, and I was sat there in my Real Madrid Ronaldo jersey. Lol. Carl says, ever been to Beirut while you were in the army, Steve?
No.
There you go.
Lebanon.
There you go.
Gareth Robinson also, Gareth Robinson even, says, Crawler is sound. I tweeted him when I had an up-and-coming white collar fight, asking for tips, and he tweeted me back.
And he came round my house trained me for 12 weeks.
Yeah. Let me move in with him.
I'm doing runs at 5 a.m. in the morning with him, who's sound.
No, he is one of the good guys.
Come I'm so tempted to troll him because he is so nice. Just troll Crawler and ask him to do stuff and see if he'll do it.
How far can you get?
Yeah, because I reckon you're looking at a 95% hit rate.
Yeah, like, and can you pick us up? I'm stuck in, Milan.
Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
Is there any chance you can come from Middlesbrough? Yeah. Oh, Steve, I'm dead busy. Come it's on, half an
it's
hour.
2 a.m., Steve. The kids are asleep. Come on. All right. I'm on my way. No, he is. I was chatting to him the other day, actually. We're going to try and get him back on the channel. He's not been on for a little while, so we will get him back.
He's coaching my mate at the moment, Alex Del Magani.
Yeah.
Future world champion.
Nice.
Alex went out to Mexico. He was 4-0, I think, at the time. He was on Hatton's promotion. 4-0. He's from down south. He's a southpaw, very aggressive southpaw, very, very good movement. And I fucking hate saying this. Juan Manuel Marquez. It's a bit
Juan
of a tongue twister.
Manuel Marquez.
As he was fighting Pacquiao. They wanted a really aggressive southpaw just to keep throwing him in the ring with Marquez, just to get him used to ready for Pacquiao. And they fly Alex over to Mexico. He's fighting with Ignacio, I think he is, the trainer over there. It's De La Hoya's gym in Mexico City. They fly him over. They pay him to be there, whatever. And Alex fucking sparks out Marquez. And he's like, I'm getting buried in the desert, aren't I? Like, showtime are there, cameras are there and everything. And Jesus. He's like, fuck. He's like, he's gone to hook us and I've seen it. He goes, I've rolled under it and I've gone, bosh, and put him away. And I've gone, oh, shit. He goes, he's like asleep. He goes, the gym just goes quiet. And I was like, oh, I'm dead. And then he goes, De La Hoya's like, take your stuff off, go and sit in the office. And he was like, right, this is me, I'm dead. And he goes, him and the coach come in, they're like, right, you're moving to Mexico and you're training here and we're going to make you a world champion. And he's like, didn't think I could say no.
Wow. The other from what you thought was going to happen.
Yeah, there's two choices.
So he lived in Mexico for, I think, about 6 or 7 years. He's back in England now and he's training with Ant in Manchester. And I think he's just sorted himself out a decent promoter. But that is the mentality to go, yeah, fuck it. I'll just move to Mexico. Train like a Mexican fighter, learn Spanish the lot, just...
Seriously?
Yeah, that's fucking balls. Where's
he from, this kid?
I think he's from Southampton originally.
Well, fair enough.
But I think, moved to Manchester. I think that's your origin story of a world champion, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Did you see that Stu Brennan's tweeted?
Why would I see that?
But it's good news.
I can't say what I want to say.
Don't say it then.
Don't say what you want to say. Water it down. No, he's tweeted something.
You talk. And
he's tweeted something that I consider to be good news. He's leaving the MEN. He says, after 24 years, it is, isn't it? We don't have to put with him. He said, I've decided to, it's time to leave the MEN sports desk. He's taking up something different, like journalism, maybe.
He's going working in Abu Dhabi on something totally unrelated, is he?
I don't think he's got something on the pipeline, so it sounds like they've just had enough of him. That's something to look forward to, isn't it, on the MEN after United play City. We're not going to get the completely biased match reports.
Oh, yeah, because sure they'll hire someone.
Flag off United fans of for cheering reports, about a win.
Did you see the Athletic one where they wrote in an alternate?
Oh, my God. I love the Athletic, and they've got lots of good writers, but
they wrote was the worst thing an alternate match report as if Liverpool beat Madrid.
5-1. Genuinely, this happened.
Honestly.
Why does this only happen with the Scousers? I've never seen anything else. Why isn't there an alternative Premier League where Norwich won it?
It means more, Steve.
It does mean more, you're right. I'm sorry.
It was like, even though Madrid beat him and Liverpool had a great game and all this kind of stuff, in an alternate universe, Mane scores within the fourth minute.
It's a full match report.
Full match report. As it goes through it.
Did they write it thinking this would happen and go, just post it anyway?
No one will notice.
A couple of paragraphs at the start saying, if. Honestly, madness.
That's like, it's just, that is, I don't even know what to do with that information. That is just, I was reading it thinking, I'm reading this because I'm subscribed to this.
Yeah.
I can read this full article because I've got a subscription.
Are you trying to see
what
if,
is going like,
maybe
on?
Maybe if the letters are wrong and you've
got, you know, people it. Like Laurie and Carl and Andy Mitten who just like spend their absolute every waking hour making sure every article is spot on. And then you've got others who are just making stuff up that's getting lapped up by all the scouts. It was bizarre.
Imagine that role play. So we just paid for you to go to Paris.
Nice.
What did you write while you was there? Wrote a match report.
Yeah, you know, what about Vinicius' goal and the
no, VAR what I did was I wrote what would happen if we'd have actually won 5-1. You've taken a fucking piss.
What? you don't work here
imagine
anymore.
That. Oi, dickhead. We fucking lost.
Do you know what, though? They did this, the Athletic, during lockdown, didn't they? Do you remember when they had your mate, what's his name, like Michael Cox, writing an article to why Roy Keane was crap against Juve? And just nonsense like that. And it's like, what is this? And I get it because they were running out of things to write about because there's no football. But when there's an actual game, the Champions League final,
madness.
Real Madrid have just won it for the record-breaking, record-increasing 14th time.
How about we write something about Carlo Ancelotti just being an absolute fucking...
What is that? His fourth Champions League?
Like, the fact that, what's his team talk? He kind of stares at you a bit.
Yeah, go on. Raises his eyebrow when he's really annoyed. Yeah.
I said this to Jay before as well. Did you not think, well, you didn't watch it, did you? I said to him, the Madrid players look so calm. Like even when, because Liverpool could have scored and maybe should have scored in the first half hour.
Once or twice.
Modric was just like, it's the ball, it's all right.
Do you see when they went for a goal? Last half hour. They went for a goal and they were passing it about in front of the goal. Like they were 4-0 up. I'm like, stick your foot through that. And they were like, yeah, do you want to go? No, go on, you have a go. Oh, he's tackled me, don't worry about it.
But no, but even in the first half.
Well,
like,
look at that midfield. That midfield literally now has 5 Champions Leagues.
It's ridiculous.
You don't get that by accident. Yeah, I mean, they're an older midfield, granted. But you can imagine how chill they are.
Van Gaal didn't want Tony Cruz. Van Gaal looked at our midfield and went, Tony Cruz, I don't need him.
Did you see the Ceballos thing as well? He said, I couldn't sleep the night before. And Cruz and Modric are just sat there playing cards, going, it's all right, we only play Liverpool. Beat them lot.
Like Pirlo's famous quote, isn't it? Like, on the Sunday, the whatever of 2006, played a better PlayStation, then went out and won the World Cup.
Just before you get to that, my friend, John West Tuner. Says, why don't United have an OnlyFans girl like Astrid Wett Elbrook? Does it speak volumes about how far we've fallen as a club? Hashtag glazes out. No, I think he's making some valid points there, a valid question. Do we not have an OnlyFans girl? I'm not well up on these things. Your subscription ran out a few weeks ago.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well, it's a valid question. I think one that needs to put into the Glazers next time they have a fans forum meeting.
Yeah, send it in. Someone will sort it.
Yeah, sort it out, yeah.
Listen! Forget the left wingers.
Why am I seeing Astrid Wett and Ellie Brooke running around for our rivals? Where's ours? It's pathetic.
Want melons.
Hey, game's gone.
Game's gone. Speaking of that,
go on.
Me?
Yeah. Sweaty sack summer is approaching. I love how these start. Hey, and it's time for you to prioritise the comfort of your crotch. That's why the kings of crotch comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. And I've had the honour of testing out these new boxers. And I can say it's the softest fabric of any underwear. So breathable. It's like gills.
What have they trademarked, Jay?
They've even trademarked the jewel pouch. Yeah? That's where I keep my jewels, mate. Don't you worry about that, yeah? The jewel pouch trademarked. Mm-hmm. So you know it's serious. It's time you invest your family jewels so you let your bulge breathe, right? And you get 20%. Off and free shipping when you use the code devilsweaty at manscaped.com, because we've all had them experience, haven't we, with boxers?
Shit boxers.
Me and him, we re-ran the 10K, didn't we? Some of us did it with £40 on our back, others didn't. I'm not going to say which.
I literally did it in my Manscaped boxers.
Exactly.
Because they're comfy.
They're proper gym tackle.
This guy ran 10K with the equivalent of a child on his back.
Blake weighs 39.5.
Well, there you go. It's almost identical, right?
Carrying your child.
And he did it in his boxer briefs from Manscaped.
And pants.
He could breathe. And pants. And he was loving it. He was loving life. He came back here fresher than when he set off. And also, thanks to the Lawnmower 4.0, you've got the best electric trimmer for below the waist grooming. You know about all that. You've got the skin safe technology to minimize all the nicks and cuts that you might get with other products. You've also got the crop preserver, the crop toner, the ball preserver, all that stuff.
The penultimate bullet point down there says the front fly opening gives easy access and makes bathroom breaks quick and efficient.
I love that bit.
In case anyone didn't know, how to get the dick out.
No, but you need that. Have you never had it at the back? Where you're like,
you just put them on the wrong way, Jay.
Oh, but boxers, there's some boxers now don't have the easy opening. They don't have a fly at the front anymore.
That's up there with the multi-purpose on-off switch.
It's good, that. Don't you knock that.
Because, right, I am sick of products that only have an on or an off switch.
Now, you're saying this now. Like,
it's even, my torches are overall knackered.
Oh, it's not multi-purpose. The purpose is power.
Yeah, but you're saying this now, because what you can do is you hold it and it doesn't turn on and off, which means when you're going through airport security in a few weeks, your pouch isn't buzzing. All
can
right.
we just say this line as well that I'm making
Please
up?
Please do. I love it. No.
Basically, just imagine, right? So it says the dual pouch is a pouch designed to cradle your boys in their own special space, lined with perforated performance fabric.
Fucking what now?
To keep them well ventilated. Basically, just imagine your balls sipping pina coladas, chilling on an hammock on some tropical
just
beach.
Just imagine it.
Hey. That's beautiful.
And I want to meet the guy at Manscaped who writes this shit.
I want to meet his
dealer. I want to see what he looks like.
I want to see how much he's been...
They're good, these lads, to do this.
Remember the guy who used to sit on the buses in town with a white rabbit?
He was shoeless.
Right, he was shoeless. He was often shirtless in November, right? He had like Robinson Crusoe style pants on, right. You know what I'm saying? Like 3/4 length like chinos.
Yep.
And he had a white rabbit.
He writes these now.
He definitely writes these. One. That's definitely that guy. What do you do now? I write the ad reads for Manscaped.
Hey. This is a vast improvement on the wheelchair one anyway. Anyway.
Yep. You sing like Finley Quay songs and stuff like that. Oh, la, la, la.
Oh, it's a shame what happens to Finley Quay, isn't it?
What happened to him?
He drug and drink just led him to rack and ruin.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
You did all right.
Listen, not everyone can have recovery. 20% off, free shipping, Devil's 20, manscaped.com. You know what to do. Go and check them out. Your balls will thank you with those Boxer Brief Performance Package dual pouch.
Go and get them.
Business, yeah. There's a question here I wanted to read. Someone asking about the TRA.
Someone asking about football.
Is the TRA happening next year? I believe it is. As far as I know, I am a member of the TRA. I've not been told otherwise. I think it's been one of the few highlights of this last season was the TRA. All the managers have praised it for a reason. It's a great bit of atmosphere in the Red Army. Go and check it out if you do go to the matches. You want to get involved where there's a decent bit of atmosphere. Everyone stands up and chants and all that business. The TRA, yeah, it's open to everyone, I think, so just get applying. Nerd Immunity says, Nunes has Lukaku's first touch. We shouldn't buy him. Is that true, Stephen?
Yeah, it does.
You used to have a bit of a soft spot for Lukaku when I met you.
Yeah, and I still kind of do.
Yeah.
Well, he's been shit at Chelsea this year. Mm. And he was kind of shit at United towards the back end.
Yep.
I don't know, maybe just the Italian lifestyle suited him. Because he trimmed
seems
up like
to get
a
his
fucker,
weight
didn't
in
he?
Order, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's got a bit seems to gone back pudding-y to again, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Whichever takeaway that he has got very good access to in England... It's probably not a good thing. Maybe
it's weird,
you know,
isn't it?
Like a kebab shops or something.
I don't know.
In Milan and...
After that, was it two seasons there now? Or one? It was 2-1 because they won they got to the Europa League final, didn't
they?
And the next season they won the Serie A.
Yeah.
And you think his star was as high as it's ever been, probably. And
he went for 100 fucking million.
Yeah,
Jay.
Goes to Chelsea, under Tuchel, just won the Champions League. You think this is your time to just, you know, silence all those critics.
He must have had $250 million spent on him as a player.
I think you're right. What did we spend on him?
75.
They've spent 100. That's 175. Inter got him off for what? 67? 70. So there's 200 odd.
Chelsea bought him for like 20.
Everton bought him. Hey, someone do the receipts for this.
Hey,
fucking
what
hell.
Is going on there, man? The guy's like the GDP of a small country.
It might be in one of the Players Tribune things that he did, which was really good. It might be in that. It might be in something else that I read of him. But he talks about like your Belgian waffles place, like next to his mum and dad's, but back in Belgium. And he's just like, I fucking can't help myself getting back in there. So.
You know what, those Players Tribune articles were so good, weren't they? We should do some art, like in-depth chats about the lot. I'm all up for that. We should do something like that. Yes. I did see a girl to him who's been a member of the Academy for 18 months. Says, Carlo said Liverpool was easy to decipher because of clear identity. Just don't let them run behind defence. And Van der Vijk was Maguire for the goal. Yeah, did you see that, Van der Vijk? Virgil van Dijk, sorry. Did you see their goal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the goal and what he was doing. Not great defending, that, is it?
It's his usual stuff.
This is the guy that I was hearing put above Yap Stam in a conversation for best.
Oh, I saw your chat on Friday. I had points to make.
Please do.
I can't believe you was still having him in your top fives and top tens.
Who? Terry?
Yeah.
I said he might make the top 10. Said I'm not. I wouldn't put him in the top five, but I think I said I can understand why someone would. But he's not in a conversation for the best ever. The best ever for me, Premier League defenders, this is the John Terry scenario. And I did bring up your name because you and Macca went a bit further than I did when we spoke about it once. First is Stam. Second is Rio. Third is Vidic. Fourth is probably Pallister. Fifth, maybe then you can have that conversation with me. Maybe I'm going to be biased on go Steve Bruce. Yeah?
All right. My slightly less biased list.
Right.
Slightly less.
Only slightly.
And only because Wes Brown is at right back, otherwise he'd be fifth.
Wes Brown was comfortably a better technical defender than John Terry.
I think I'm seeing.
Right, so, and I got the receipts for this. So, number one is Stam. He had the lot.
Facts.
The lot.
Facts.
Number two is Rio, and I think Rio's physicality gets underestimated because he was such a Rolls Royce on the ball. People forget his organisational skills. If he wanted to fucking smash you, he was getting smashed. I think number three is Company.
Oh, shut up. Shut up. No, right? It's not. It's really not.
I think number four is Tony Adams. I think number five is Virgil van Dijk. And then you're looking at Carvalho, Pallister, Lucas Radebe. Who else is in the mix?
Right. Can I sell you? I can name one. I can name one player that's better than all them you just mentioned, apart from Gary Pallister, Ronnie Johnson.
The thing is with Ronnie Johnson, I agree, but his star shone so bright and only very quickly.
Okay.
Do you think Van Dijk's done enough in such a short time to be up there?
Yeah. I think what he's done at Liverpool is outrageously good, yeah. And I think
what,
he
beat 7-2 off Villa? Yeah, I mean.
Win two pots.
Do you know what I mean?
Two important
pots. No, I think
you nailed it. They've had the same season that Arsenal had in 93.
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? Was Steve Bowles getting still player of the year?
No. That good. I think he's been that good.
My only criticism, if you can call it that, of Van Dijk is he's a very late bloomer. Yeah. 27, he was, or 26, 27, yeah. He was at Southampton.
I think what you also got to remember is the vast majority of the players that we're talking about here, all of those players played up against two strikers. And that's a very different game than two of you marking one striker.
Mm.
A lot of them now playing a little bit of a higher line than perhaps was done back in the day. But for me, this is what makes Vidic and Rio stand out as the best partnership. We had Michael Carrick, who is not a destroyer.
No.
Sitting in front of those two, and every other fucker was having it and attacking. And they played on the halfway line, and we had a record number of clean sheets consecutive.
They were good.
They were very fucking good, and I think it gets completely underestimated how good they were.
I think you're right, and I think it gets underestimated some of the attackers that they're up against. This whole recency bias, where it's like, oh, well, if you're up against, you know, Raheem Sterling and Heung-Min Son and Harry Kane, you know, it's easier than it was back in Rio's day when you're up against, had,
Terry Henry and fucking
Drogba and Shearer. Like, what, the three, Bergkamp and all these players that have been now in the Hall of Fame. Like,
you think
what
of the,
are you on
the
about?
The thing is, the players, the worst teams, when you're going up to Bolton, you had Kevin Davis, elbowing, but you don't have
and
that
Elka.
Anymore. You don't have that anymore.
At Bolton, remember
you don't
that?
Have that. You don't have a. There's very few. There's maybe Antonio does it once a year to defenders where he absolutely just bullies them for. You used to have that every week.
Yep.
It was the lower down teams were different challenge. So you had to deal with your Omri's and your Drogba's that had a bit about them, and then you just have Kevin Davis elbowing people, and you had to deal with that as well.
I just feel like the problem is when we have these conversations about defenders, we're quite privileged in the sense that all the defenders you've mentioned there, you've seen them. You've you remember the entire Premier League era, so you can make a sort of a judgment on what you've seen. I think people...
Honestly, I think Frank LeBeuf was better than Terry.
All right, fair enough. But you're going off what you watched.
What?
Just like it.
No, I love it. I remember him and Mackie, right? They got down to like Lucas Radebe. Like,
what do you mean down to Lucas Radebe?
They were like...
Terry's looking up at Lucas Radebe.
They went through about 17 centre-backs. They named centre-backs. I forgot played football. Never got. He was better. He was better than him. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, Marcel Desailly had a better career, but we got the back end of him at Chelsea.
Yeah,
didn't we?
That's the thing though. But if you're a younger person, like a younger fan, you can only go off your stats. So you go, that's why the argument was Vidic and Van Dijk, because Vidic had that season where his stats were phenomenal, rather than Rio or Stam and Van Dijk. Well, where for me, from the eye test of actually watching these players, and I've probably seen more of Virgil Van Dijk than I've seen of any other player bar United players, because everything's televised now.
Yeah. When
I was going watching United in the mid-90s or the early 90s, I didn't know week in, week out what City players were doing, what Liverpool players were doing, because it wasn't televised. One game out of every
seven.
That's
what made Europe exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other thing as well. So World Cup 2010, Joachim Löw, Germany beat England 4-1.
How was it that game?
Do you know who they targeted? It was John Terry. So their whole game plan was to get John Terry isolated. Lampard and Gerrard are not two defensive midfielders. He doesn't have the protection. Don't have the protection that he usually has at Chelsea, which people forget about. Chelsea, you know, he might have whatever he had at Chelsea, but he didn't play on the halfway line. He was protected. He had Essien in front of him.
Makalele in front of him. Man, so, people forget that.
Yeah.
I always forget Makalele playing.
And Carvalho alongside him. And Carvalho, for me, was the better of those as a technical defender. What was John Terry? He was out of position and he had excellent recovery pace. So he would make eye-catching shit. Micah Richards was exactly the same. He was shit, but he made eye-catching tackles.
He was shit,
you know.
He make eye-catching tackles, and it would draw the eye.
Next week.
Match of the day player. That's exactly what John Terry was.
Do you know that meme? It's like a meme, that video clip of Phil Jones when he heads it past Giroud, and everyone mocks Phil Jones for it. John Terry attempted that for England against Algeria and failed. And people use that as a compliment to John Terry, trying to stick his head in front of things. Yeah. And it's like...
And he did do that. I give him that. He was very brave when he wasn't on the stand. Because he would cry at the drop of a hat. But when he was playing, he would put his head in stupid places, like Vidic would. And he was a good in the air, I will give him this, and he had a ping on him. But his defensive positioning was as good as Gerrard's.
All right, let me ask you this is a question about John Terry. What are probably the two biggest club games John Terry's ever played in?
The one where he substituted himself on the 26th
No,
minute.
The biggest ones, the most important, that's a good one. But the most important games of your career as a club player are probably the Champions League semi-final. Yeah?
Yep.
Would that be a big game for you?
When he got sent off.
He got sent off for kneeing Alexis Sanchez in the back, pointlessly, right? So, okay, you've absolutely flopped on that one, nearly cost your team the game. But there's always the Champions League final. That's probably, it is a bigger game.
But you could rearrange the order to take the final penalty yourself, make all the headlines, and adjust your captain's armband on the way up for the photos that you're inevitably going to take, and then fucking shin it onto the post and cost everyone a game and then cry like a little bitch in the middle of the penalty spot.
Yeah, so his two biggest... He could do that, and he did. So the two biggest games of his life for his club, Mr. Chelsea, he couldn't have been worse. He literally cost them one game and very nearly cost them the other. The only reason he won it is because he wasn't there. Do you know what I mean?
So he's seen his arse with Rio naming him only fifth.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I literally text Rio and I said, I can't believe you even made him fifth, to be honest.
What was Rio saying?
Just crying, laughing emojis. And then I listed 10 better than him.
Yeah. we need to find the clip of him and Maka. It went on for about half an hour. They were naming everyone. And they were proper convinced, both of them were like, yeah.
Why are you saying it like I'm not?
I know, and I'm not
going to
bang
on him what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm
John Terry is a myth of a fucking player, and I don't know why. There's some players that just get that media attention. Fucking Steven Gerrard's another one, right? And I don't get what it is. They just love him and they don't do any wrong.
Do you think Trent's similar to Steven Gerrard in the sense that a lot of big things in terms of direct passes and tries wieldy things, but in the big occasion is actually poor. Yeah. Eye-catching player.
I think, but I think
Cook's got his fucking dinner, could he?
No, I think you'd Trent, scam. Right, he is a winger as a right back.
Yeah, that's it. Right, he's just misrolled. Yeah. The way Liverpool deploy him, he is a playmaker, and they should just put him like right midfield.
Yeah, that's where all the sort of a lot of the attention comes from. Because if he's a right winger putting up them numbers, people go, he's a good right winger. Yeah. He's a very good right winger.
Very good.
Yeah, he's very good right winger.
But also, he loses possession 30, 40 times a game.
For a right back, that's mad, isn't it? For your right back to do that.
But he also creates, I think, like Bruno, he's like the second or third highest creator in the Premier League. You can't knock that, but he's a volume merchant.
I mean,
and if you're happy with that because you have so much possession, fucking sound, you're happy with that, and that's your prerogative. Some guy was arguing with me on Twitter saying, like, you'd have him in your team, though, wouldn't you? And I was like, no, I wouldn't. And he was like, but you would, though, wouldn't you? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I value other things. Reece James starts ahead of him 100 times out of 100.
There's a reason. I mean, I don't rate Gareth Southgate. There's a reason why he doesn't get in the English team.
Let's not use Gareth Southgate's logic.
But you do need someone else in that team where you've not got the technical players Liverpool have to keep the ball, and you can't have Trent doing that.
Yeah. Jordan Desmond, welcome to the first team. Thanks for all your support, my friend. What else?
Should we talk about Manchester United Football Club a little bit? Maybe.
Says here, since taking over from Ed Woodward in February, Richard Ardell has driven a strategic review and overhaul of the whole club.
Is that like a new Jeep?
Yeah, driven a strategic review through Carrington into the manager's office and said, right, what's going on?
I've just seen that. I'm blocked as well.
Patterson's just texted me and him Jason McAteer's trying to kick off with someone.
We're both blocked, so we can't say that.
Let's have a look. What on Twitter is this?
Oh, let's stay away from it.
Yeah, let's not.
Oh, right, okay, yeah. Let's not do that. No. Yeah, because it doesn't end well for anyone.
No.
Strategic review, Richard Arnold, overhaul of the whole club. Do you get that impression, Stephen Howson?
I do get the impression that's going on. It's probably going to be out after this, actually. I did a video earlier looking at, like, Ralph going, what I think that means, so I'll steer away from that. But one thing I don't like about Ralph going now is, like, this seems like a very recent decision. Don't know how recent, but it seems recent. So if this is a recent decision, who the fuck is doing that job? Or are they happy with Murta doing that job? Because I'm not happy with Murta doing that job. Murta's been doing that job already for a couple of years. We've just seen Boot leave. We've just seen Lawler leave. We need more people.
The only thing with that is there's been some stuff come out today that he's in that job now, Murta, and they've said that up until end of January when Woodward left, he couldn't actually do it because he still everything had to go through Woodward. So any decision he had to make had to go through that, whereas Richard Arnold seems to be going, no.
You're the man.
This is your job. Fine. You're doing the football stuff. Okay. So the question that I have with all of this now is that the Ragnick thing, Ragnick got credited for a lot of stuff going on. This, a lot of the scouts leaving, all this happening, the Ten Hag decision, all this kind of stuff of better football and decisions. Do we think that was Ragnick, or is this just the Arnold Murtagh Fletcher thing?
Well,
and is
that Ten Hag?
Not just Ten Hag, but all the, because we have looked at it and gone, there's a lot of big changes going on at United, and they seem to be sacking all the scouts is the right decision, should have been done years ago.
Well, I do think it's more of the Woodward Arnold thing. I've said that a few times. Like, I think, I said it on the overlap.
Yeah.
I think where United are at the moment, I'm going to say it on camera. I think Woodward was worse for us than Munich.
I'm not
people passing away. I'm saying 10 years post Munich, we was European champions.
Yeah.
10 years of Woodward, we're in the shit. Like,
you mean like in terms of footballing effects it's had?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not fucking taking anything away from any of the people who lost their lives in Munich, but
in
terms of something that's fucking happened, Woodward has been fucking worse for the football club. And where we've progressed in that time. And his legacy seems to be a very selfish, I want the say on this. I'm going to bring in that player. We can do things in a transfer market others can fucking dream of. We don't need success on the pitch to be commercially viable. All of these things, and how he allowed the ownership. I mean, he was even part of the fucking ownership coming on board. From the bank side of point of view,
JP Morgan,
where he's laid his feet is fucking disastrous for this football club. Within 6 months, put it this way: if Woodward was still here, Have we appointed Ten Hag?
No.
Absolutely not.
No.
Welcome Mauricio Pochettino. I guarantee it. Does this overhaul happen? Clearly not. Because this overhaul wasn't happening under Ed Woodward. This overhaul for me and the appointment of this manager, whether it's Ralph, whether it's Murta, whether it's Arnold, it fucking ain't Woodward. So the big change at the top, if it is just Rich and Arnold saying, football guy's going to make football decisions and I'll just fucking empower you to do that. That's what a CEO's meant to do. A CEO's not meant to fucking cut the grass. No. A CEO's not meant to be picking a team. A CEO's not meant to be fucking going signing players. A CEO's not meant to... I mean, fuck me, when's Fabregas coming?
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Ed Woodward left that tour in 2013 to go and sign Fabregas. 9 years ago, Ed! Yeah, like... A CEO has to empower his employees. He has to get the right people in, which is a skill, and he has to give those people the power and the authority to be able to bring in the right stuff and enact the changes that they want to see. Otherwise, it's the fucking Ed Woodward show. And we've seen that, and it got bad reviews.
Really bad reviews.
Tom Boyce in the Super Chat says...
Fucking eyes leaking, it's doing me head in.
What's the first thing Ten Hag buys to help him settle into his new job? I think he gets a lovely notepad and clicky pen, bullet point... Bullet point one, Ben Maguire. maybe that is what he buys. It's quite interesting. I mean, listen, it does, you know, there's still this little bit of turmoil going on, isn't there? Because people are losing their jobs. There's a lot of change going on behind the scenes. And you look at it and you're going, is this just more chaos at United? Especially when you look at the fact that Ralph Ragnick, who was brought in as an interim manager with this view to being a consultant, and the consultancy role made more sense than the interim manager role because he'd been a consultant for a long time. He'd only been a manager for 2 years out of the last 10. So you're thinking, well, what's going on here? Okay, he's going to be a consultant off the back of his interim manager. That kind of makes sense. And then you find out he's not staying on as a consultant. He's just going after being interim manager. So that's a bit weird. I think they've had all these stories coming out, haven't we, with people not getting on with each other, people questioning each other's role or whatever. Now we just need to get on an even keel. Hopefully Erik ten Hag, who's got his backroom staff in place. John Murtagh is a footballing person from what we gather. Darren Fletcher, we know all about Darren Fletcher as well. It seems like there is a better structure. And from what we've heard as well, Richard Arnold is delegating a lot of things, which is better.
I've seen there's a picture of Richard Arnold at an under-18s, not Richard Arnold, John Murtagh at an under-18s game on the sideline, chatting to parents and coaches.
He does have that
stuff.
Relationship though, because he came from that role.
But exactly. We've not had someone in that role for the past 9 years. We've not had someone that goes, I care about the lads that are playing football there.
Well, not only
and
that,
what are they going to do?
Knows their names.
He knows the names and all that.
Fucking Ed knew who any of these lads was.
No. And it's that, like, sort of just having that interest and showing you care and showing you give a toss and, you know what I mean? Showing you get what United is about. Yeah. Fergie knew everyone's name. Fergie knew everyone's name. And if you didn't know
he did it to a different level, yeah, though. I think he was fucking bizarre.
He knew the cleaners' names and everything. He
not
was
like everyone in your family's names.
Yeah, he
like,
was.
Fuck me.
But yeah. Someone was saying this about, I was chatting to someone who works at United the other day. I was at a christening. One of the lads, he works around the tunnel. He does a tunnel of players and stuff. And he was saying to me that what's become evident already with Ten Hag is if you speak to him, you tell him something, they'll remember it about him.
Right.
So if you go, you know, I'm such and such, I work on this. Oh yeah, you know, I was working at, you know, Stockport, but I moved here last year. All right, okay, see you next week. Oh yeah, you're enjoying the job, man, better than Stockport. He's got that, I've made that anecdote up, but the point is he does remember things.
I don't know where the fuck you get that ability from.
Yeah, it's like people are already impressed with him knowing, he'll remember your name, he'll remember something about you. I'm not saying, you know, life story, but he remembers little things where in the past you've had this where there's just sort of been the us and them attitude with staff and the coaching staff, and it feels like United are getting back to how they should be, just from these little noises I'm hearing from various places.
I heard some horrible story about Mourinho, really bad ones, about when he was there, about him and Groundsman.
Really?
And may or may not have been putting pitchforks in his office and then saying, come and get your fucking pitchfork. So Mourinho's nicked it and then tried to get him sacked off the back of it.
What, like he'd been in my office and left my pitch? Left
no,
pitch
like, for? Imagine you taking that camera, going upstairs with it, and then ringing our staff going, come get your camera, you dickhead. That's what
so Mourinho's gone, grabbed a pitchfork,
yep,
and then said, come and get your pitchfork, like the guy had left it in his office or something.
And then tried to get him sacked off the back of it.
Daniel Kirk says,
Trent... been in your office, you fucking helmet.
Yep.
Trent, major Wally of the Week contender for singing on that embarrassing parade, absolute sausage. Do you know, a lot of people have been going on about this fucking parade, and you know what? If you have a parade for what you've won, I don't mind that. Do what you got to do, do you know what I mean? I'm still just annoyed we didn't get ours in 2008 because... GMP bottled it.
Rangers, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, Rangers smashed up the City Centre and GMP used that as an excuse not to give Manchester United fans a parade after we'd win the Champions League, like we weren't going to just celebrate and not smash up our own city like we had done in every single parade we've celebrated. There's never been a drama, but it just went, oh no, you can't parade. Maybe you can have one later in the summer, and then we didn't get one. And then, you know, as soon as City start winning trophies, won the FA Cup in 2011, here's a parade straight away. No dramas. Just still annoys me. Rebecca Jade O'Sullivan says, Murtaugh's brought someone in to assist with the academy and the women's team so that he can focus on men's first team. And I'm so glad a football guy is making football decisions. Yeah, this is all we wanted, really, isn't it? Because we've just not had it. We've just not had football people in charge. And the amount of power that the likes of Judge and... it was everyone talking about Judge, how he was just clueless. Said, like, you had to tell him, like, what, you know, there's a player that was trying to get in touch with you.
Well, I mean, I got a lot of shit for something, but it was 100% fucking true. Like, when I said it, it's still 100% true right now. I didn't give the player's name at the time, and everyone assumed it was... Oh, I can't remember who everyone thought it was, but it was wrong, whoever it was. Was it a PSG player? I can't remember who it was.
I know it isn't. I know it was. It ended up being. Who was it? I'm trying to think who it was.
Yeah, there was someone everybody assumed it was, but it wasn't. It was always Hakimi. So Hakimi was at Dortmund on loan from Madrid, I think, and had come to have a tour around Spurs while Poch was still there. Poch basically took him on a date in a new stadium. They had dinner in a fucking box overlooking the stadium, and he told him where he was going to play and all that lot, and you're thinking, I'll fucking sign for Spurs. Like, this sounds like a fucking right good do. And that's what you should do for a player. If you're going to invest probably 60, 70 million pounds into a player, you could at least fucking show him around the stadium and sell him a dream a little bit, can't you? Take an hour out your day to try and do that. United are Judge doing that. And you think, no wonder United get pied left, right and centre. And here's exactly what happened. And this, I heard this, and then I know an agent at the agency that he used to be at. And I asked the agent, and I went, did this happen? And he went, yeah. How the fuck did you know that? And I was like, right, so that's true then. And what had happened is, while they're in London, so United have that office in Mayfair, while they're in London, they've organised a meeting with United at the same time. And he sits down and he goes like, all right. And Matt Judge asks Ashraf Hakimi, what's your name, son? And he's like, right. And then he like writes it down. And he's like, how many international caps have you got? And his agent stops him and goes, are you taking a fucking piss?
Yeah.
Like, and then he told him, we've just been to Spurs, basically just been fucking non-stop almost by fucking Pochettino here. He's been all about him that much. Like, took him on a fucking date and everything. And you're sitting here and asking him, what's his name? Do you think he's going to sign for your football club? He's a fucking United fan and all. Like, roll the red carpet out. And I know it's a bit of player power in it sometimes, but you've got to fuck... I mean, the guy's probably top three right-backs in the world at the moment.
They want really to go with last summer. Was it 60 million quid from from Inter to PSG?
Yeah.
After winning the league with Inter. Yeah. So, and we've got... Wan-Bissaka and Delo. Like, you just think now, if you get that player in.
And these are the fucking mistakes that we've been making. People just fucking rocking up at that Mayfair office. I'm sure not on minimum wage or not. To fucking negotiate these mega million deals. And this is the... Like, you got, why aren't United getting bargains? This fucking clown. This fucking clown. Doesn't know who he's talking to. 5 minutes of research. Like, because I'm sure they didn't just turn up, knock on a door. I'm sure there was an email conversation was like, we're going to bring Ashraf around to come and talk to United. I'm sure there would have been some sort of a back and forward conversation. A little bit of due diligence. Even if you don't know, if Matt Judge himself doesn't know who Ashraf Hakimi is, have you not got a researcher that he can go, do us a favour, get me a fucking dossier
just,
on him?
That is just shocking, that, isn't it? That is absolutely
And then you go,
shocking.
Right, yeah. So, and when he sits down, you go, listen... We know all about you. Yeah, you're one of we think we're your best right backs here. And, do you see yourself at United? Blah, 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 blah. Do you know what? Let's get you on the phone with a manager.
Well, that's the whole point. It was Pochettino doing that dealing, and we had Matt Judge doing it. Like, that's where it should be. It should be the manager or a coach or someone that's involved in the football side that can explain to him.
Zidane did it here for a long time at Madrid and sold him the dream. I'd love Eric or Paddy Everett doing that job at United.
Well, that's it. It's
Imagine that. Are you saying no to Cantona? No, Cantona knocks on your door. He's got flowers and like a pack of bulls, right?
Even if it's someone
and
that...
He's like, let's take him out.
Ten Hag fans, a Dutch player, someone, you know, Van Persie or someone like that that's maybe not doing his coaching or whatever, come in and just do this. Just say, look, when I signed here, I was here to win this.
Listen, we're going to get...
This is what you're going to do.
We'll give you 3 months' work. June, July and August.
That's all you got to do.
And all we're going to do is we're going to box you off, send you around to all the nice places in the world, and you're going to go on and sell them the fucking dream. Imagine Paddy Evra turns up at your house with a skateboard. And he's like...
Why a skate?
Because it's Paddy Evra. Yeah, skateboard and one shoe on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, let me talk to you about the fucking best football club in the world. You're listening, yeah, aren't yeah. you?
Absolutely.
And then he's like, well, what are we talking about? I want to forget the money. Think about the trophies. And then before you know it, your fucking 5-year deal and you're fucking having your photo took in front of Stretford End.
We're getting trolled in a super chat, but I'll read it anyway. CR says, you are absolute legends. If anyone watches your season predictions and still think you know half a pigeon brain worth of management or strategy, my. What, just because I predicted Liverpool to finish fifth and United to win the league? I don't know what you're on about, bro.
Did that happen?
That
was last season. He's still going on about last season.
I know. Daniel Kirk says, I'm in Scotland enjoying talking about anything but the Queen. That's how we celebrate up here. CJ Rook says, what are Murtagh's credentials that has people putting faith in him? He's been around a long time. He's at Everton when he was at the Premier League. He's done a lot of jobs in football. And that's why people sort of think... And
I don't think Arnold's got so much football experience. He's been at United for a long time.
Yeah, I mean... Listen,
well, that's not really a fucking internship to be.
No, and listen, like most clubs have a financial sort of someone with a financial background at the level where Arnold is now. Like City have it, Liverpool have it. Just they delegate. So if he's delegating, and listen, I don't know a lot about Richard Arnold. We give him a, you know, we're waiting to see what's going to happen here. Do you know what I mean? This is his chance to prove it in this window and moving forward.
I mean, it's amazing that you've got Van der Sar doing this job, and it's amazing that you've got other. Highly decorated footballers that are doing this job like Leonardo and people like that, right? Some doing it good, some not doing it so good. But if you like, let's get Dennis Irwin involved. Well, what's his credentials? He's a fucking shit hot left back. Right. Does he know anything about anything? Van der Sar went to university and did like
he's done a
courses
master's
and stuff.
In business. You can't just, not many people go down that route after they play professional football.
No.
And you can't just do that. And this director of football role isn't usually an ex-player. It's very, very rare that you're going to see that. Like Maldini's another one at AC Milan.
Well, I know
a big shock. It's different.
Julian Lescott, for example, like obviously he's a blue. Not everyone's favourite thing on here. I rate him. Mate. He's a fucking sound guy. Obviously, you saw him come and play us at Paddock. He's doing a degree or a master's in football directorship, and he's also coaching England under 21s. That's a person going out there and getting his quals. You know, whether you fucking rate him as a blue or whatever, that's up to you. But he will probably end up at a club somewhere, could be Everton, could be City, where he will be responsible for this. But he's putting a graft in now on the sly.
Absolutely.
You know, he's doing a bit of TV work every now and then, keeping the bills paid. England, I think he's an England under 21 coach or manager. I think he's coach. And at the same time, you know, so he's staying on the pitch, but he's also going to uni and he's putting the graft in doing this. And there's a couple of other players doing similar sorts of things, which you think will probably pay off down the line for them. And it's like when someone goes, oh, there's a director of football job available at blah. Well, when they apply for it and they go, well, what's your fucking qualifications? You go, yeah, I've just done a fucking master's in it and, you know, I've still been doing this with England, kept my hand in the coaching, so I'm current with players, you know, I'm blah, 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 blah. And that's what it needs to be. It's not been like, it's busy tomorrow. Yeah, I'm going to play golf. All right, do you fancy coming doing this job instead?
It's like whenever he said he got offered it or whatever, he said he even knew it wasn't going to be the job. Because number one, he wasn't qualified for it. And number two, he was never going to give him the qualification or the right to go and do this stuff. Yeah. It was just going to be, oh, we can sack him if it all goes wrong.
Yeah.
Which we knew what was going to be the case.
I'd love to have an ex-player, like them three, Beckham, Cantona, Evra, right? If them three rock up at your fucking door.
Yeah, that's it. Do you know what I mean?
You're going.
Come on. You'll sign anything, wouldn't you? You'd sign life away if those three knock up your door.
And United have got so many iconic players that I can't believe how we're run as a business. Because Real Madrid did that. Real Madrid basically just fucking cheated attracting players by just employing the likes of Zidane and Raul as ambassadors that go out and just fucking butt you up.
Exactly. Yeah, it works as well. Charlene Jones says, I remember when you were trying to get an interview with Woodward. Any chance that ever happens now, I think it's safe to say no. Wally of the week, Alex Bagley.
I'm going to go for the off. Michael Owen, probably. That's the main one. The tweets were great after the game, still do. But the fact he said they're still the best team in the world, Europe, just after finishing second.
Saying it as well, like it was just going to be like not ignored.
Your mate Rio going, yeah, but they lost twice. They've lost the league and then they lost the Champions League. So they can't be the best, can they, Michael? Yeah, but they look the best.
You know what made me laugh about when Rio was commentating the other night? And it was barely picked up on. It was like, he was talking about how, you know, when your levels are that high and, you know, if you lost the Champions League final, he said, you know, we've had seasons when, I remember like one season we won the league and you lost the Champions League final and then you spent the summer being gutted and this land hadn't even won the league.
It was amazing. He was dropping a couple in.
It was so dry. Well, the thing is, you sort of went under the radar.
Man Owen played for Liverpool and Real Madrid, but you think you're tuned in to Liverpool TV.
100%.
Don't get the Owen thing. I still don't get what he's trying to do. It'd be better going and trying to just pick up Real Madrid everywhere.
They're never going to forgive him.
Yeah, but Newcastle, ever. Liverpool United.
Fans will never forgive you for coming to United and winning a title.
So leave it.
Would you, if that was the other way around?
No.
There's no way on God's earth you go, oh, no, do you know what?
As much as we fucking give Liverpool shit, they are a big club and they have got their own legends.
Yeah.
And you little fucking Welsh twerp, you can fuck off, can't you?
It's like, no. Robbie Fowler is an absolute god to them. Yeah. And Michael Owen, you can't stand him.
I saw that tweet to him yesterday, which said, if I was stranded on a desert island with Michael Owen and a tin of corned beef, I'd eat Michael Owen and talk to the corned beef.
It is a good one, that. Who's your Wally
John Wake? Fucking Terry.
Right, okay. Terry.
Why, Steve?
Do you know what? For once, I am not going to make it political. I'm not going to say a political one. I'm kind of going to agree with you, Baggers. I just think the whole sort of watching that game and then banging on about how Liverpool are amazing is just bizarre. I'm even going to throw Owen Hargreaves into the mix because he just spent he was on the B team. That's how good he was as a player. He didn't even make the Michael Owen table. But he was going on about how... someone's putting it, Michael Owen's daughter is going on Love Island.
Yeah.
Two of the Owen family embarrassing themselves on telly. he was saying that, like, oh, you know what? Liverpool didn't do anything wrong. And then you go, they did. Even Andy Robertson, I can't stand. He came in for the interview after that and went, we didn't play well in the second half. We got things wrong.
That goal, like Robertson went forward. They shouldn't have took Diaz off because he was the one pressing there.
Yeah.
All sorts of stuff.
Andy Tate in the chat says, Jay, have you heard anything about the Cup season ticket scheme? No, but I'll find out and get back to you. That's been Stephen Allison. What's videos coming up on your channel?
About Ragnit Reaction.
Ragnit Reaction. We've got one of them as well coming up soon. Also, Alex Bagley, where can people find you?
Baggers _ Alex. I'm going to be drinking Guinness for 2 days, so don't mind me.
Okay, don't mind them too much. Big thanks to our sponsors, Manscaped. Go and check out them. It's devils20 at manscaped.com. You get 20% off and free shipping. This has been the Paddock Podcast. Thanks for watching. Podcast Network.